if you need ties, cufflinks, belts, socks, all that kind of stuff that makes you look good, go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order. And cufflinks.com has got you covered. So support the podcast and support our sponsor, cufflinks.com. Go over to cufflinks.com and use code DVR20 at any time to get 20% off your order. No minimum. cufflinks.com/DVR, DVR20 today. Welcome back, everyone, to Podcast Winterfell / Daily DVR, a pod of cast, top shelf fandom. Oh, look, we're like the Fandom 3. Welcome, everyone. We've got a great show for you today. We've got Justin Thomas. We've got Roberto. We've got Axel. We're here to talk about Con of Thrones, and we're also going to kind of open that up to a larger discussion about our own experiences and reactions fan as well as on the show for Game of Thrones. So it is a Game of Thrones day. You can check us out at dvrpodcast.com. We're covering Big Little Lies and Veronica Mars too. It's coming back. So first off, I want to introduce Roberto. Roberto, say hi. Tell everybody where they can find you and all that kind of good stuff, pal.
Hi, thanks for having me, Axel. Roberto Suarez here with a pod of casts, currently on hiatus, but looking forward to coming back when whatever comes next in the world of Game of Thrones on TV. And you can find the show at apodofcasts.com, and you can find me at Porto Geeken on Twitter.
Awesome. Yes, and thank you for taking the time to be here, my friend. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, my fellow Portlander.
That's right.
It's nice today. It's nice and chilly and cold. I like it that way. of course, on the other line, we have a man who needs no introduction. Top shelf fandom, Justin Thomas Show, The Fandom 3. He's a superhero to you and me. It's Justin Thomas. Hello, my
friend. Let's make sure to give that introduction anyways, you know, just to be safe. Let's not get pompous. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to meet you, Roberto. And yeah, looking forward to it.
Same here, Justin.
Nice. No sarcasm from Justin today. He just never rolls like that. No, baby. All right, so let's talk about it. Justin just got back from Con of Thrones. This is a con that took place in Nashville, Tennessee last weekend. I believe it was from kind of Thursday night to Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Tons of people, all the podcasters and YouTubers were there, some folks who listen to our show. I know Matt was there, Bubba was there, people that I've met through you, Justin, Johnny was there, tons of other people, Robert, In Deep Geek, History of Westeros. I was not able
Everybody
to attend.
With a webcam and a microphone, yep.
Yes, they were all there. So I want to hand it over to you, Justin, and you can just kind of give us your whatever you wanted to say about it, your stream of conscious. I know you were on a panel, and we can kind of ask you some questions and go from there.
Yeah, the panel was my motivation. I was not planning on going unless I was going to be on a panel, and I had a very high watermark for where that panel invitation would come from, meaning I didn't want to backdoor my way in and network my way in with some, you know, the people that you just mentioned that I've collabed with. It was just about kind of just, I don't know, validation. I've talked about this before, just as much so I'm passionate about it. And I'm business minded as well. But also there's a certain feeling of being validated. So yeah, I was very honored. I was asked late. So luckily I was helped with my plane ticket and in my actual tickets. I still had to go and do the GoFundMe, which is, you know, I know it sounds like I'm trying to be all ethical and gracious, but, you know, it is a heavy burden to ask for money to get to some of these places. But it was really appreciative the help that I got to get there. And then once I was there, as far as it went as the con, first con I've ever been to. Very, very exciting. A little bit of a disconnect between the content creators and the people, meaning like the people that don't have, you know, a microphone and webcam, which I always make a point to distinguish, like that there's not a big, you shouldn't distinguish that much. There's not that big of a line. There's plenty of really, really smart people that don't feel the need to go on YouTube or have a podcast. So I wanted more of that connection. I guess the way to get that is more panels. It's a very big venue. So, you know, it was just logistically, my recommendation is that you plan ahead, get there a few days early. But yeah, it was a ball, man. Everything from the daytime activities from 10 to 6 to the activities that don't stop until the sun comes up. But yeah, it was a great experience, and it was really interesting because of, you know, we all know that there's it's a little bit toxic out there, and there you saw none of that at this con though. Mm-hmm. Just like when you meet people face to face, you know, that you might not get along with, you tend to find common ground. It was kind of like that, but also I did feel like it was a sort of hopefully not, but a final hurrah in a certain sense, you know. Yeah. My first one. But they have scheduled for next year though. But yeah, we can get into it. Very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, and Roberto, please chime in whenever you like. One of the things is you said that there wasn't like a lot of negativity. And, you know, this past season was kind of difficult. You know, now that we have some time apart from it, I can just talk about it from actually like a human and emotional way, which was that was a tough season for me. Like, I love this story and I love the people that I've come to know through it, the podcast, YouTube, anybody. But there, people were so upset that it really kind of took me back. And I'm really happy to hear that instead of this turning into that, because there were people from the show there, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and so I have a good, it would Nikolai
be, yeah, Nikolai was like, and I saw they were being friendly with people, you know. I saw so many pictures, especially with Braun. He was, yes, taking pictures with everybody, jumping in on, talking to people. And I'm just happy to hear that people were able to see past whatever resentments they had towards how the TV show turned out. That's awesome to know. First off, I just want to say that makes me happy from the get-go.
I also do want to just go ahead and preface it with that, you know, Nikolai watched his interview that it's on YouTube already about, you know, I'm not saying all the negativity went away. I'm just saying it wasn't put toxic out there.
Yes.
And it's the way in which he was able to sway the room of people that I guarantee that if I had him take a survey after in the main hall about it, if they enjoyed it, it would be pretty much universally negative. But, you know, he did his job because he's an actor that can't turn on his showrunners, right? Because he needs to work again. And he can't just crap on the people that he had been working with, else nobody's going to want to work with him again. Also, it's endearing to see an artist talk about his craft and his work. Yeah. And he handled it very well. Mm-hmm. He didn't give that great of an explanation, but he walked around it until he said, since we're not talking about it, but we're going to go ahead and talk about it, I'm assuming you guys are upset with how fast it was, which I was surprised he didn't use pace. But
oh, yeah, he said that. Okay.
That's cool. So like he brought up, now I'm not saying he sold it like the best, like on like actual facts, but his passion and the way he is and how charismatic he is, he said, and this is paraphrasing, but something around the lines of, if you think that the creators of the show don't care about this show, then you're crazy. And everybody erupted in cheers, and that's cheers for Dan and Dave. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is, you know, part of me thinks how easily people are influenced by charismatic people. Part of me thinks smart, if I'm his publicist, smart. And part of me thinks, yeah, you know, there's truth to that. And they definitely dropped the ball. So yeah, very interesting. There's not a lot of like overt, like hate going around, but you know, people are also, when they get in the community and face to face and off of this, they tend to be a little bit more nice, you know. And you're not defined by if you like it or not, right? You're not drawing that line in the field. That's all.
Yeah, I think what you just said, Justin, about being face to face, I mean, I think a lot of the vitriol that comes out is because it's so easy to remain anonymous, even if you have even if you use your name, being behind the social media layer that kind of gets in between you and other people, allows people to get a little bit more, you know, vitriolic with one another. Whereas when you're face to face, you suddenly realize, you know, it's important to be, it's okay to disagree and to have aspects of something that you don't like, but you can discuss it in a civil way. So I think bringing people together face to face hopefully brings out the best of folks that maybe behind the scenes wouldn't be as nice in that context. And also, I'm sure an event like this probably draws more people who want to have that experience of being able to talk about the show passionately. You can still share your differences, but I doubt that people who are truly 100% negative on the show would want to invest the time to go to something like this. This is for those folks who will stand with the show, even though they may understand that that there are aspects that they may not like about it, but there's still a lot to celebrate.
Absolutely. In the money, you're absolutely correct. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, these aren't people that paid to have a bad time.
Right.
at least that I saw. But again, and I will again have to just, you know, like clarify that my one complaint, you know, Music City is like it's like a town in itself. It's way too big of a venue. There's the hotel's not connected to it. I felt a huge disconnect. You know, I was never walking in a hallway with more than three other people, and these hallways are the size of highways. So like, you know, my panel and then the few other panels I was able to make it to was my most interaction with people, like on a large scale. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the only thing I'll add to that is it does make you wonder, though, like what's the real you? Like, or, yeah. You know, the hypothetical person, the mm-hmm. person behind the keyboard, is that their real feelings, or is it real feelings when they're face to face? I don't know. I'm a pessimist, but I'm a little bit of a mixed bag. So, you know, but it makes you wonder what, you know what I mean? Of course.
Well,
yeah. People are easily swayed. That's all I'm saying.
It's all you. My thinking is, and it's just, I mean, personal philosophy or spirituality. I feel that a person people are capable of an infinite amount of emotions and actions, all of which can be harmonious or hypocritical at the same time. And that's just kind of how I see people. But I'm glad to hear that people were together. And I agree with you, Roberto, that once you lay down the kind of the keyboard and you're looking at a person face to face, you realize, oh, wait, they're like a person. They were once a mm-hmm. little baby. They have a mom. They have a dad. They have a, right. You know, they're just a human being. And also, really, this is just a TV show. You know, and it's just books, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I have several times tweeted out, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm actually not trying to be mean, but even yesterday, because I log on and I see people say, oh, Dan and Dave aren't going to Comic-Con. You know, so they're running scared.
If I was their publicist, I'd suggest the same thing. Yeah, they've never been kind with the media, even when they're doing good. If they're visibly booed, bad yes. for them, they can claim that they would never be accepted by them on to their next
My point project. Is, my point is, we don't know, right? Like
That's why it's a good thing.
The thing that bothered me throughout this more than anything, because I didn't see people being too bad to each other, more so ignoring people or not wanting to discuss a little bit of, there was accusations here and there. Maybe I'm being too nice.
Opinions became kind of optimistic. Who you were.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. Right. Like, since I thought that it was natural that Daenerys make this heel turn and mm-hmm. some people who liked her didn't, I was all of a sudden like a bad guy who didn't like particularly want a woman to be the hero or something, you know? And I think that is what happens with social media. You become your opinion becomes you, right? It's not just you. That infiniteness that I was speaking of before is evaporated and someone kind of puts you in a category, right? And we all try not to do it, but we do it. But I'm glad to see
the embodiment of our ideas. That we
yes.
put out.
Yeah. But the thing that kind of with Dan and Dave, and like I was saying, I put up the William Shatner SNL skit, which for me is something I think about a lot because yeah. I do podcasts, because I'm so into this stuff. My own life has been affected by, say, Star Wars, Lost, all this kind of stuff. But I've always said, man, if I could rewind time or if I could do the Thanos snap and all that stuff disappeared, but the people I met stayed in my life, I would do it because those yeah. are just stories. Mm-hmm. And that's what bothered me is that I see this kind of blending of where your hobby this story you like, this book you like, this con you go to, how you identify with yourself becomes so strong that you'll like it. It's almost becomes like a religion, you know?
I think the other side of the coin is, a lot of things that affect us as far as stories go is when we consume those stories. I've talked about this before. I consumed Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire in a transitional period of my life.
Yeah.
When I was going from dealt with any type of issues. Okay. Maybe the divorce, maybe a happy time. Anything you relate this to the time in which you started watching it. So it's like kind of like time traveling. Mm-hmm. And so you become very connected to it. So somebody, you know, it's not right for them to like think that you're embodiment of like a misogynistic, like, you know, whatever, asshole. I don't have any better word than that. I'm not that smart. I pulled off misogynistic asshole is the best I got to follow it up, you know, kind of redundant. But anyways, you know, like, but at the same time, we all don't know. It's that old stupid saying, but it's, you know, a saying for a reason, and it's been said forever, is you don't know what other people are going through. And they might consciously or subconsciously relate this story to this. This story is special to me for a certain reason, but other people's opinions do not embody who they are. Also, I can differ in opinion from somebody because, number one, there's a big difference between opinions and facts. And most people's views on this are opinions. It's a fact that the story was rushed, that it was plotted out. It wasn't actually given narrative or story in any like.
I understand those points.
That's something that's fair enough to say. But just saying I didn't like it or I don't like that, that's fair. And that's a consumer's critique is a consumer's critique. It's the most valuable critique it is because consumers who purchases. So that's great. But I do not need to think that you're a piece of garbage because of it. That's so ignorant.
Taking a little break here from this great conversation. I want to thank Roberto and Justin for coming on. Just reminding you, guess what? Harry Potter's birthday's coming up July 26th to the 31st. Use code POTTER20 and get 20% off your order at cufflinks.com. I'm telling you this one early because I know we've got a lot of Potter fans out there. Every time I talk about Harry Potter, somebody says, I love Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter too. I watched them all with my son. They're awesome. Didn't read the books though. We'll read the books with him when he gets older. Harry Potter, 20% off, sale code POTTER20. That starts July 26th at cufflinks.com/DVR.
Yeah. Like, 'cause I don't know, Roberto, this is the podcast that you do, and mm-hmm. you're going to do, you told me before this, that you're planning on doing, spoiler alert, nah, just met him, I'm giving you guys his itinerary. What he's going to be doing is, you know, you plan on doing the Age of Heroes. So is there something special like about the story that connected you to it other than, I mean, because you went the next step to, you know, mm-hmm. publicly, pose your views.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I started podcasting was because, like, I think similar to what Axel said about this community of folks who podcast and people that you meet through this experience, I just like talking about this stuff, the good, mm-hmm. the bad, what I like, what I don't like. And, you know, I've lived with fandom my whole life. And I think, part of what attracts me to this stuff is there's this sense of kind of building a mythology, you know, our stories kind of help us learn stuff about ourselves and about who we are and about, you know, the human condition. And they're not always going to be great stories, right? I mean, some stories are always going to be better than others, but you know what? More stories are coming, right? There's always something more. And I think I always look at my interest in talking about these things from that perspective. I don't want to get into a position where it just becomes, I mean, some of these YouTube channels that I see are just clickbait, hate mongering all the time, just picking on something and kind of driving an agenda. And I'm like, listen, just because you didn't like this season of Game of Thrones or this episode of Game of Thrones doesn't mean that in the future there might be something that you will like. Things evolve and things change. You know, I was my first fandom was James Bond. And mm-hmm. if you look at James Bond movies, there's probably more bad James Bond movies than there are good James Bond movies, especially, you know, in the Roger Moore era when things got really campy and stuff.
But you know what? Those are the ones I like.
But you love
how exactly, dare you?
But you love them, right? I mean, even when they're goofy, you love them, right? It just and if there's a particular one that you don't like, you know what? In a couple of years, another one will come along. Maybe I'll like that one. So that's kind of how I've always approached my interest in these properties. And so for me, why I want to continue working with whatever comes next with Game of Thrones is because I'm open to the to that experience. There may be stories that compel me. There may be stories that are a little boring. There may be stories that are amazing, and I want to be able to discuss that. Ultimately, though, you know, it's an ongoing thing that's going to evolve. If I lose interest in it, which may happen, that not necessarily because of hatred or because of a particular agenda, but you know, sometimes you lose interest in things, then you lose interest in things. But over time, all of these things, I think, are just meant to be things that inspire us and that entertain us. And we can look at the good and the bad in it and still appreciate the craftsmanship and the work that's gone into it. And I think it's when you mentioned, I'm sure that at the con where you were at, I've seen this, and I haven't been to a con like the one that you just attended, but I recently saw some footage from Star Wars Celebration. And there's all these fans there at the Star Wars Celebration, you know, who are passionate about Star Wars. And to a one, when the interviewers were asking them about how they felt about the last movie, many of them didn't like the last movie. But that didn't ruin their love for the franchise and the love for the property and the love for the stories, because there's always something there that's going to grab you. And there will be new things coming down the road that may or may not be a part of what you continue to like. And so I'm sure you probably experienced that at the Con of Thrones, that there were things, probably there were fans there who were dissatisfied to some extent with the last season, maybe disappointed, but they still love the and are passionate about aspects of the franchise that they will continue returning to it.
That's a great point, man. I really love that point, Roberto, because you're right that so they talk so much of world building,
mm-hmm.
and what you're kind of saying is, you know, just like appreciate that world, and even within our own world, there's aspects of the world you don't like.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't like the whole world.
right.
And I really like that point of view. Yeah. I think that is really balanced, but I do think it's also difficult when, as a society, we're going through this kind of big experiment of social media and fandom, and those are all wrapped in together. Mm-hmm. And that's why I thought it'd be great to have all us three talking about this, because I think that kind of one thing I share with you, both of you, and pretty much with everyone that I podcast with or work with in this way, is the kind of attitude that it's a TV show. Like, mm-hmm. Justin, you were saying, I know you have, even though I understand, I was going through a divorce, or I was very sick, and the only thing that got me through it, or I was depressed, and the mm-hmm. only thing that got me through it was this book. But the truth is, and this is what I think the truth is.
I'm not excusing their behavior.
Yeah, no, I know. But the truth is, you got you through it. And if it wasn't that book, it would have been another book.
But
and hold on a sec. It's the taking yourself out of it, right? And your own agency within the story that I think, and this may be getting a little too psychological, but I think that's what kind of causes the over emotional and the reactions that to me, that I see are really disturbing and point towards like almost a society or like a kind of like a movement towards pushing your emotions and stuff into the fandom instead of doing what you were saying, Roberto, which is enjoy the world, realize it's not the real world. This is the real world, you know? And I think that's kind of important. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Justin.
No, I'm sorry. Just because what you guys are touching on, and I've just been studying Henry Jenkins, you know, and he's like kind of like, I don't know, he kind of coined the phrase participatory consumerism. And it talks about fandom, because what Roberto's speaking about is something breathing without, you know, an individual linear storyline. So they didn't like the last one. Oh, well, this is a world in which they're invested in. World building, you know, plays into this. Also, like what you said about mythology is perfect, because there's a lot of truth without fact in mythology, right? You know, yeah. So like there's like ways to get through these things, transcend time. But also what Jenkins talks a lot about is what you were just speaking about. So sorry, I got excited. So
no, that's okay, buddy.
I haven't been listening to lectures for nothing. Yay. But no, he's very interesting. Worked at MIT and now he works at SoCal. And he, you know, he cites Mickey Mouse Club as an example. We won't get into it, but I mean, you guys could probably see how that very much so lends itself to fandom. It is essentially like the birthplace of it in every sense. But outside activities like cons, you know, groups, and so forth. But what he talks about is how we invoke, like you just said, and how it's kind of poisonous in all across the world in the society's issues, civil, civic, you know, blah blah blah, political. You know, we invoke fandom. Our beliefs, you know, people are, Donald Trump is, you know, made to look like, the Night King and so forth. You know what I mean? Like, which I'd say that's no fair to the Night King. But, you know, but it is true though, that these fandoms, you know, I never discount emotions from other people because I'm very much so about the power of the story. So as soon as you discount emotions, especially because I'm a debater, if you discount somebody else's emotions, then your emotions are no longer valid as well. You've taken them off the table, in my opinion. So yeah, I think that it's important just to realize these like the different stances people have. Also, subs, and we have this culture that's this like perfect mix of awesomeness and just the worst thing ever with, you know, the platform that we're all on, especially the one that I'm primarily on. You know, people think that sub counts give them IQ points. People think that loving something and being excited about it teaches them how to do it. I always use the analogy, I drive a car every day. I couldn't fucking fix one if my life depended on it. Mm-hmm. But they think they read the books every single day and do all this, they can craft story. No, you need to learn how to screenwrite. You need to learn how to story craft. You need to go, like, if you don't go to school, you need to teach yourself. So don't you dare say anything past it was not good. If you go ahead and say, and you have no experience in writing, that you could write a better story, they are bad professional writers. Okay. There's bad professional football players. Are you stepping in for them? You know what I mean? Dan and Dave, I think, trust me, I'm not an advocate. Like, I think it was hot garbage I mean, everything was wrong with it, could have been wrong with it. Every cliche, every cheap move, every writer's trick to get out of the writer's room, every MacGuffin, everything was wrong with it. Trust me, I could go on. But I'm not going to, because, like I said, a child says garbage. And I say, yeah, that's garbage, you know? Good. You noticed. It's pretty obvious. But there's also good points. It didn't, like Roberto said, it did not ruin my experience and the passion that people had. And it meant so much to me, you know, because I'm on a panel with Robert from In Deep Geek, Crow Food's daughter from The Disputed Lands, and Quinn from Ideas of Ice and Fire. You know, I got 2,000 some subs. We're looking at people with hundreds of thousands, you know. And number one, when I'm getting introduced, I'm a little nervous. Surprisingly, I don't know why. You know, done other stuff than this on a microphone, but whatever. This guy Bubba, very nice guy that I met, and he's watching. He gave us our first voicemail. Very, very outspoken Southern man. We've been ribbing each other the whole weekend. This is Sunday, we're in my thing, and everybody introduces themselves. No, it's not like a clapping thing. It's very quiet. When I say Justin Thomas from Top Shelf Fandom, you hear boo. And I'm like, oh man, no. I'm like, you know, because these people are going to be like, oh yeah, that's the guy we're not, like, not everybody's familiar with me. They're like, he must suck, you know? And then I just said, I go duly noted, and everybody started laughing. So like, I got comfortable. But by the end of it, two people came up to me when they were coming up to everybody at the end and asked me specific questions. And I felt good about that because, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's just, it's not, I don't ever think of myself as less intelligent or anything, but let's face it. If you're paying to go somewhere and you're attending a panel, you're going to probably want to go talk to the person with the more subs, you know? And so it just meant a lot to me because everybody has their specialties. That's awesome, dude. You know, and it was a good feeling. It was validation. I'll wait for the audio to come out. I felt like I could have done better and I'll do better next year, but yeah, more interaction with everybody. Everybody's very separated at these cons, except for, it seems almost like a celebration for the content creators, which, trust me, I like to celebrate. And it was a hell of a time. I mean, I got to walk in to one of the after parties and they said, hey, you can't tell anybody, but so-and-so's here. And I don't get like a fanboy because this wasn't even just a Thrones guy, but this is the person that, you know, like killed the numbers with live streams. There's certain people that like transcend, like we get to meet pretty much everybody, you know, and they're very special themselves. But then there's certain people, especially geographically, you know, like they're just on a different level. I don't know how to explain it. You meet them and then you find out they like lessons from the screenplay just like you do. They're there attending, like, and not saying their name, not because they're pompous, because they just truly love the fandom and they want to like just go and do it. So like it was so cool to be able to talk to people that, you know, like just a few years ago I thought there's no damn way I'd ever be in a room talking to them about, you know, about story, you know, like, but again, I want to meet more people that don't have YouTube or podcasts.
Can I just take a second? Cause I want to bring Roberto in on this as I'm listening to you talk. And I wonder how you feel, Roberto, because the YouTube podcast world are very different. Yeah. I never think about any of this shit. If I met somebody that had a million YouTube subs or whatever, I'd be like, what up, dude? I don't really care.
Like, I think it's a little bit different too when you're trying to build a career podcasting or YouTubing versus, you know, for me, it's a casual endeavor that I do on the side. I have a day job and I have, you know, responsibilities outside of podcasting. If you're trying to build a career out of podcasting, I can see how those things really become important.
I think that came out wrong the way I said. I didn't mean to downplay. Because I understand where you're coming from, Justin, too. It's not like star fucking. It's an appreciation of what a person has worked for. But what I mean is that
full time and I'm not looking. Yeah. I would never wish for that.
We've talked about before, like the kind of difference with YouTube and podcasting. And that's really what more I wanted to kind of talk about.
Ego and vanity.
Yeah. Like the it's interesting how in podcasting, I think that there's different listeners as far as like different people. I think podcasting people tend to be older. Yeah. And I think they tend to be more removed from the strict fandom. Like I know with Podcast Winterfell, even though I'm on Twitter and all these other people are like really in the fandom. And because Matt, who had the podcast before me, was really in the fandom as far as the books go and everything. But now that I've been doing it for 2 years, like that's a kind of a small part of our audience. And I think people listening may be saying, yeah, I didn't go to Con of Thrones, but this is kind of cool to hear about, you know? It's interesting that those kind of inside the fandom, there's those levels too. And like you're saying, Roberto, I just kind of do, and even though I do this now as my job and every day, I still just kind of do the show. Mm-hmm. I never really think about my place amongst other content creators or anything. That's why it's kind of fun. Do you think about that, Roberto?
You know, there's been times when I thought about it, but I think at a certain point I realized there are limits to what I can do, and there's a limit. There's limits to, if I really wanted to grow in this space, I would have to invest a lot more time and resources to it. So I decided, you know, I'm just going to stick to my couple of podcasts that I do. I appreciate that they're kind of seasonal things, so I don't have to be doing them all the time. And I appreciate that I found, even if it's a small community, but the small community of fans who like to listen and discuss, you know, our ramblings about it. That's what I wanted to get out of it. You know, at some point, maybe if I ever make enough money to retire and be able to then focus more attention to it, I would love to do it on a more invest more time into it. But I've gotten out of it. I mean, I didn't go into the podcasting thing with the intent. The intent was I felt like I wanted, you know, what got me podcasting, as you remember, Axel, I used to do a show about Spartacus.
Yes, yeah.
And the reason, and it was the Spartacus TV show on Starz. And the reason I did it was because I loved the show, and I had heard that the show might be getting canceled because there wasn't enough people watching the show. And so I said, I want to do something just so that people know more about this show. That's what it came out. It came out of an interest in wanting to make sure that the show continued. I don't know if it had any impact. I don't care. I just say, hey, let me talk about this because maybe if I talk about it, we'll find other people out there who want to talk about it. And there were other people who wanted to talk about it. I wasn't the only guy, you know, who was loving watching these, you know, bloody half naked people, you know, slashing each other's up on gladiator battles and whatnot.
I cited that show in my video that was put out yesterday. You can check it, saying that there's actually good character development in that
show. It's a great show. It's a great show. I think it was, in many ways, it was ahead of its time when it came to dealing with gender issues, and when it came to dealing with, you know, kind of looking at the toll of war and all sorts of different things. It's a really great,
surprisingly historically accurate for what they had.
And surprisingly historically accurate with what they pulled off.
Yeah. Let me say one thing about the YouTube, just to clarify. The thing that I really want to establish is your guys, okay, because I'm not full-time, I would never wish that upon anybody, I know who you are. But here's the thing, you guys know your downloads, right? And you do have play scenes to a point. We have our sub counts,
right?
And we have that right outside, and people will click on you. So it is the networking for YouTube. It is, I'm going to just have to go and say it is more important, because you have to be seen in the same light. Again, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world. Axel's helped me immensely. I overtalk. Brevity is not my personality. Awesome. But the thing is, you know, like I always, no matter what I do, I want it to be the best. I will never want to be full time, but if I want to make the most money. I spend a lot of time on this, but my views and my subs are, you know, like that affects if I get views. So it's kind of like it's a very hard game. Podcasting, I understand there are rankings, but it's very, very much so skewed and less clear of where people stand. You know, you're not being judged off of a little icon with a number right next to it.
Justin, I'm sorry, buddy. That totally came out wrong. You know, I guess what I mean to say is, like Roberto, I started off doing this because I loved Lost. I literally just wanted to talk about it. And I also grew up listening to talk radio and making radio shows on a tape recorder with my, it was just something I always did.
So did I.
And I know we've talked about this. And so the YouTube thing, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying? It's the YouTube is a different game. It's not the people. It's the people. I think sometimes, like, I know people kind of trash YouTube a lot, and I've said it too. Like, people do, you need to get clicks, you need to get things, and it becomes a lot. It's like a totally different thing. It's just, I wanted to talk. It's just weird that podcasting and YouTube have become very close in this world, and not only in the world of what we're doing, covering shows and stuff like that, but in the real world. And there's this kind of overlap, but they're very different worlds. Like, in all my years of podcasting, 11 years I've been doing this, right? I've done like freaking 20,000 hours in shows.
That's this week alone. Give me the real metric.
That's just this podcast where I haven't stopped talking.
That's a big difference too. A YouTuber, it tends not to be as brash as me, but when we ran into more podcasters, they are more, hey, you know, like casual. And us YouTubers are always like, because we have to race to get our point out. like you know, like, you, so like when I hear Roberto say something, I'm like participatory consumerism. Got to mention it now. You know what I mean? Like, but that's like this, it's not healthy, but it's like, you know, you talk to a podcaster, they just want to have a conversation. I'm like point one, point two, point three.
I noticed that with when I'm podcasting too. Like, in podcasting, you keep your mic open and you talk, right? And in YouTubing, like, somebody talks, you mute yourself. Then somebody talks, you mute yourself. And then it's like this, it goes, it's like a whole different world. I just find it fascinating. And I just think it's kind of interesting. So I was just kind of talking about it. But it's like, I look every once in a while. I look at downloads, and I look at also like where we're ranked. But the other thing is, it's way harder to tell how many people are listening to you with podcasting than it is with YouTube. YouTube, you have a number. Podcast, even the downloads that you're getting, you have to do some extrapolation, because a lot of these providers now, Spotify, Pandora, they take your file and they stream it. And they want you to then pay them to say how many people download. You know what I mean? So it's like you're always playing. It's a bit more of a guessing game. And I think it's just kind of, like you say, a little more wide open.
Toes in that podcast.
It's chiller, dude. It's chiller. People on you, like every time, when I'm on YouTube, I always hear from people. And even when I'm on it and I look in the comments, I'm like, God damn, I never got so many negative comments. The most negative email I ever received in 11 years was from Alex Hahn, who went on to be my great friend and podcast with me. He wrote this email trashing me and Aaron, and I wrote him back and I was like, what up, dude? You're still listening. And then we called on the phone and started talking about it.
Another example, it's not face to face, but at least having to run. See?
I think someone would like bomb your house if they
tell me to get AIDS all the time. I keep telling them terrible. I'm trying. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's an immediacy to YouTube that you don't have in the podcast world. Yeah. I think
you get to catch them right away.
Podcasting, I record my episodes. I get to edit them, prep them, and then post them. And then there isn't as much of a mechanism for that immediacy of getting feedback right then and there, right? In YouTube, the moment you put it up, you can start writing your comments and giving it your likes or dislikes right away.
It's centralized.
Plus there's the visibility of YouTube. You ask anybody from, across generations, do you know YouTube? Sure, no problem. I can go to YouTube and start watching YouTube videos. But you ask somebody, you tell somebody I do a podcast, they're like, oh, podcast, what is that? And how do I get to it? There are layers you have to like sit down with them, show them, well, you can download a podcast application and have that. There's still a little bit more of a distance between the audience and the podcaster than there is between the audience and the YouTuber.
Neither is superior. Podcasting lends itself to people that I think they're more likely to give you a chance and hear you out over, because I feel that a lot of times people are listening in their cars. YouTube, as soon as I said one thing, when I guarantee you, I did it a million times, that one person in like, they fuck that guy forever. It's they have so many options, right, that are happening right at the same time in the evergreen aspect, like of podcasting versus YouTube. Now, again, we can really strike when the iron's hot. You can really cash in on YouTube at certain times, especially like at a live stream after a show, and really, if you're talking about like it fiscally, I think that you're going to see more immediate response from YouTube, but that also comes with like higher competition. It comes, opportunity, comes with risk and so forth. And, the visual medium is much more judgmental and people are, they have a lot more to criticize. I'm very interested because of the podcast world, because I feel that there's a lot of sincerity that comes through. It might not be the quantity even, but the sincerity of the followers. Not that I don't have very sincere and supportive. They've given me hundreds of dollars to help me get across the country, in the recent weeks, which I can't even express how much. It seems crazy to me that somebody would even do that, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's good. We shouldn't always concentrate on the that's a great
point. It's just different. Yeah, yeah. They're more willing to hear you out, but they're also...
The face matters too, don't you think? The immediacy, being like and in your home, like when you're looking at YouTube, a lot of time you're looking inside someone's house. You feel like... It's intimate, whereas with a podcast, you are a disembodied voice in their, most often in earbuds, while someone is doing something else, right?
Yeah.
And if you're pleasant, people will just kind of want to sit with you a little, and then they are doing something else. With YouTube, they're like looking at it. They're in your house. They feel like sometimes sometimes when I watch a YouTube channel, mostly about Game of Thrones or Westworld or something, because I'm an old person. I don't watch YouTube. And I know all the people, and it's on my big screen in my house. It fills up half the wall. I feel like I'm looking through a window into someone's home. So yeah, there's a personalization there, but it does also, you're right, people are beautiful and wonderful. And that's why I've said, you know, again and again, that to me, all of these stories could disappear. George R. R. Martin could be erased from all of history, and dire wolves with him, including Ghost. I'm sorry. And I would still just be happy that I met you, Justin, and that I met you, Roberto, and that I met people. Like, to me, I just always think about the people, and I'm not trying to be like cheesy or I'm a good guy and I don't get mad at people, because I do.
They exist past the story, yeah, though. But they've got into a place where you can, like, I made some great connections, a few specifically, where we didn't talk about content, and that meant the world to me, because it's been a long time since that's been the case, and that they want to know about me. And that means a lot as well. As far as, like, when we go with, like, the fan, like, look, somebody made me, Nancy T made me this blanket. It's got all the sigils on it.
That's awesome, dude.
You know, I mean, like, you get this beautiful, but it's the good and the bad, and you have to accept it. Yeah. And, you know, you can't have one without the other. And as far as, like, Age of Heroes coming out, like, that's what we did our panel on. There couldn't have been a more vague time for George to pick to make a story. Everything is skewed. He skewed it even more as far as the timeline. It's all mythology. So how much of the mythology can you make a matter of fact without ruining the point of lore and so forth? Like, so, like, this story that we're being told is going to be told in Planetos, but the lesser known places, like Summer Isles, weren't even on HBO's maps. Shy in the Shadowlands, or the Vastus area, you know, but they, you know, something happens there, most likely the Long Night, blah, blah, blah. People go to Valyria, boom, then Doom of Valyria, then you go to Westeros. But my point is, he's going to be telling a story that you don't know. There's a reason he didn't pick Duncan Egg. There's a reason he didn't pick Dance right away. You know what I mean?
So you mean that it kind of puts us more on even ground, and we're all entering into something together, something like that? Because I look forward to that, Justin. I'm glad, because I think that the kind of book thing, and, you know, I know, Roberto, we've spoken of this before, but what do you think about that, Roberto? Are you looking forward to the fact that this is less?
This is a sandbox. This is the most sandbox you could get.
Now, Justin, I was going to ask you, you know, kind of following up on that, and to answer to your point too, Axel. I mean, I guess I'm looking forward to it, because I like the idea of it being completely, you know, it's so far in the past that it's going to be, we're not going to be getting, you know, just a barrage of Easter eggs and references and things to what happened in Game of Thrones. You mentioned something there about George R. R. Martin. Justin, is George R. R. Martin involved in the writing of the new series, or is he more of a creative consultant? Like, what kinds of things did you discuss there when you were in the panel?
Oh, I'm so sorry if you noticed that.
That's
the vanity aspect of, let me go ahead on my OBS and take this little black thing down a little bit more. And now, okay, you guys can't see what happened, but it looks a little better. That was cardboard that's held up by tape. It's all
okay. The set's falling apart.
A big illusion.
Yeah, and I'm the sword of the mid-afternoon. But anyways, no, it's very, okay, so George is working in the capacity of an executive producer. He claims to be writing with Jane a little bit. We'll never know how much. I think that there's probably a little bit of hesitation on his point, and I think rightfully so, for him to talk about how much he's engaged, because he hasn't finished the books. Sure. You know, you talked about myth. This is prehistory. This is the age. You have the Dawn Age, then you have the Age of Heroes. It's disputed. This is written. This is essentially, you know, your Saxon accounts of, like, the Celts and so forth, or the Danes. You know, this is all this history that was written, you know, by the Andals, meaning after the First Men and after the Long Night. We're going to see a few centric characters that will draw us in, like Bran the Builder. And probably Lan the Clever will come in eventually. So, because you have to have that high concept of drawing people in, right? People still have to have your casual viewer. You know, we all convinced about 30 people throughout our lives to watch a show at least. As content creators, probably far more, hopefully far more. But even the average fan convinces other people to watch. So, you know, and this was also sold to lawyers. You know, HBO executives. They're like, well, so who's Jon Snow? Who's Danny? I mean, these are all bullshit questions they probably had to answer. And they're throwing a lot of money. So you'll have your familiarity, but also it's exploring the world. So George's, you know, the capacity in which he's writing, I don't know, and they haven't disclosed. Jane Goldman seems to be, you know, obviously heading it up, but George seems, you know, George is a beat guy, you know, like he's going to lay out for her. And he, the thing is, he's present for it. They're not just doing meetings, and it's also not having to adhere to a already, you know, almost finished story. So again, the sandbox thing, they clearly wanted to do their own thing and tell their own story. But again, you know, we are going to see family names that we recognize, and we'll also see, have you ever watched Last Kingdom?
I have not.
The thing they do in that show really quick is like they'll take like Wessex or something and like are like Kensington, and they will like show the old Saxon like word for it, and then they'll like split it into what it is now. Because a lot of our like mainstay like in like centric places in Westeros, especially like King's Landing, isn't existing more than a marine fort. You know, Winterfell is very primitive. There's all this technology that is like, you know, it's like the pyramids. There's obsidian, and you know, there's these the base of the Old Town Tower is like, you know, Valyrian our technology from Shai, we'll find out. But the point is, there's technology that doesn't belong there, you know, like, so we can't really explain just like the pyramids and stuff, and it's not uniform. So it's gonna like play off a lot of stuff like that. So I just see like a connection with the culture, and I only thing I worry about as far as the writing is George trying to fix season 8 by rehashing the Long Night? That's what I'm worried about. I want to see the story up until the obsidian. Well, how did he get up to that tree and have that obsidian up against it? Why is it him? Who is he that he did? That's the story I want to see. I don't need more information. I don't even know he's a Stark or that, but that name notoriety would be there. But I mean, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but that was mostly what we talked about. My main concern is how much myth can you make a matter of fact? You know what I mean? Imagine if you took that with our mythos or our even folklore, you know, monomyth and stuff like that. It's monomyth for a reason. It's not a matter of fact for a reason, you know. It doesn't work. It doesn't have that that power, that staying power, because it, you know, it gets too exact and it ties itself to the time and the cultures. So you need that fact, or you need that truth without fact, is what I'm saying. But Bran the Builder, most likely I want to see him as some scrappy mason, right? Not the guy, because he couldn't have possibly built everything he built. I want to see him all skinny and then have a foreman, you know.
Well, can I just go back to, because I think Roberto I was asking him about what he's looking forward to, and he had asked you how much George was involved.
I said a whole bunch of other stuff.
That's okay. It's all good stuff, Justin.
My wall fell down around me.
What had you wanted to say for that, Roberto?
I would just say I'm looking forward to whatever. I just like the fact that it's so distant from the originals, the Game of Thrones series. It's very interesting to just go into something with a blank slate. Granted, you know, there are going to be family names that are familiar, and there's going to be, you know, certain aspects of the world that are familiar, but it's distant enough from what we have seen already that I think it gives them ample playground to come up with some new and creative stories. And, you know, there was, even though there's been a lot of critique of the later seasons of the show, in that they didn't have a book to follow, and that may have been what impacted some of the quality of the program. There is something kind of compelling to step into this world with a story that everybody's kind of on the same playing field. That there's not going to be all this, you know, pre-written stuff that folks are going to be able to go back to and look at and expect or anticipate what's going to happen. We're all going to go into it kind of with a blank slate and living through it together. And I'm kind of interested in that.
It's not the story you think you know is literally the log line. So it's like, hey, you watched all that. You think you know. No, you don't. Next one. It's not that story you think you know. It's like perfect marketing.
Yeah, I like that. And what you said, that's the way I feel too. I think that's a good choice by them for the fandom, because it is such a big part of it. And this has been a good discussion. I'm glad that we got to talk about more about the fandom. I'm sorry we didn't hear more about your, because we got to wrap up things pretty soon, but I'm sorry we didn't hear more about Con of Thrones. But I know that Justin, on your channel, and you're going to be on with Tony tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I don't plan on doing too much. Yeah, I'll be on with Tony. Okay. The only thing I'll say about, because, you know, I don't want to seem like some star fucker. the person, you know, was somebody that you don't see the face of, and somebody that, you know, like, I really appreciated like their point of view. So like that really stuck with me. Yeah. Because we see like, you know, like how accessible people are, and also we see you know, sometimes, unfortunately, and hopefully Rivero, you got a decent opinion of me, but sometimes you know, you meet somebody, you're like, holy shit, how does that person have 100,000 subs? So it was really nice. The con is something I will be attending next year. I'll be on more panels, and looking forward to it, man. And I want you to come, Axel.
I would love to come, man. I know we've had a bunch of discussions about when I was editor of this magazine in like 98 or something, a big convention at Javits, and my dad used to run these bar shows at Jacob Javits that I used to help him with a bit too. These conventions I love, but I don't know, man. I just, maybe I'll make it out there.
I wouldn't run one.
I know. That's why I say that's why I'm glad we didn't talk any bad about, oh, they didn't have the things you said were natural things, because running these things is so difficult, and there's so many moving parts of it that it's like, and that's why there isn't, you'd think there would be like one of these every weekend. I mean, it's Game of Thrones. Everybody in every city wants to dress up, and there's you know, it's a huge thing, but it's just such an endeavor to put it together. But this was a good talk, because like I said, I'm glad that we can kind of take a step back and think about it, how it affects us, because we are human beings in the end. And whether we're in this as a business, because we enjoy talking about it, or a little bit of both, we're still human beings. And it's good for me to talk with two people today. And actually, I kind of feel like a therapy session. Like, I feel a bit better about the season and everything, because we all disagreed. Like, I really liked it. I know you guys had a lot more problems with it than I did. But in the end, we can all do like Roberto said and find a piece of that world that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't all get thrown down the drain. Yeah. And it's a more interesting conversation is to find out why a reasonable, sensible person that's not like, you know, well, I'm not even being like, Well, yeah, because you're not ignorant though to the industry.
I saw it as a play. I've thought about it a lot. I'm not willing, but I have thought about it. And I listened to you throughout the season, Roberto, and the issues that you guys had. And Justin, you and a lot of other people that I at the time didn't agree with. And I said, you know what? I think it did come down to the fact that through my rewatch, I had kind of prepared myself. I knew the season went exactly how I thought it was going to go. It didn't surprise me, the rapidity, the way it moved. I was expecting that. And that's why, to me, it was a welcome feeling. Whereas to a lot of people, it felt really rushed and bad. And I had kind of adjusted it. I spent 6 weeks watching every episode and then doing like a freaking by myself 2.5 hour podcast talking about it. My notes are like 70 pages long. It's ridiculous. And I think I'm an optimistic person, and I went in smooth and I just enjoyed it. And I was, you know, that's just how I am. I just really loved the show. The fandom and everything accompanying was very difficult. The show, I loved every second of it. It's weird.
But that's not the thing. Nobody's going to judge you for liking it. I might disagree with you, but yeah.
Right. You guys are not wrong. Either. I don't think you're all wrong.
We're clearly not. Okay. No. Right? Yeah. It's a little bit of ignorance right there. And you got a lack of, I admire those people. They must not have real issues, eh?
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. Roberto, I want to give you a second here. You've been with two very talkative people today. I appreciate it, pal.
I usually send a gift basket.
You can have the floor.
I was just going to say, you know, there's a reviewer, just speaking to what you were just saying, Axel, there's a reviewer that you're familiar with, Chris Stuckman on YouTube. And he did he didn't watch the last season of Game of Thrones. Or when he watched it, but having just watched all of the other seasons within like a span of a couple of weeks, like you just mentioned, Axel. And so one of the things he said is that I think it's different because he had never seen Game of Thrones. He waited until the last season to get caught up very quickly and then watch the last season. And so he kind of just binge watched all eight seasons through the span of a month or so. And so he says that from his experience, it was very enjoyable, but he hadn't invested the amount of time that people who waited year after year for these episodes to come out, and week after week and year after year. So he can see how, from the perspective of somebody who's invested so much time, there was that disappointment in how rushed the last season felt. Whereas he watched it all kind of straight through as one mega long story. Yeah. And it all kind of just flowed fairly well for him from his perspective. Not that he didn't not find any issue with it, but I think there's something to be said about the investment of time that we put into these series, and how that impacts then your appreciation for how the stories are eventually told and resolved.
How would something on Netflix do on HBO? Stranger Things on HBO, Westworld on Netflix.
How will this fare in the future with everybody watching
better because of
and I watch because it's going to be one complete story, right?
Yes. There is no time lingering and trying to fulfill our time and fulfill our lives and our voice.
And hours of speculation in between episodes and seasons, right? I mean, because that's the thing. We also build up ourselves with all of these theories and things. You know, if you just watch it straight through, there's no time for you to sit down and speculate. You just continue to watch through the whole thing.
No. You don't realize you're sad. It's like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Nope, it's true. Yeah, I saw that. Stuckman's one of my favorite. Yeah,
that's great. That's a great point of view. Yeah, and you know what? It comes down to,
make it better.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is though. It's what we really are talking about here, which is your own human experience, and how oftentimes when we talk about television and we talk like I'm always saying, everybody talks too much about plot and not enough about the production. And another thing maybe I should say is we should all talk a little bit more about how the old Schrodinger's cat thing, how we change the experience by viewing and by being a part of it. And that is something we should respect a little bit more, you know, from each other.
The structure on all ends.
Yeah, and I should have been more open to everyone's negativity. I really should have. And like Donald and other people. Well, you know what? Maybe I was too positive, and maybe that can come off as kind of like prickish, or like I'm trying to be better or something. But
you're shilling, but
like I'm shilling exactly. Or so I had somebody say, like, yo, what does Cufflinks want you to like the show? And I was like, actually, Cufflinks didn't like it.
Like, Cufflinks is the main sponsor. They do the 10 million episodes.
It didn't have anything to do with that. It had to do with my unwavering optimism and love of like the experience over the show itself. And I think I did allow that to cloud it.
They feel you're missing it. And they're like, no, I need to show this guy. And they don't.
Well, that's natural though, because I want to do the same, right? That's why I'm doing my show. But all right, guys, let's wrap it up. This has been fantastic. This was really free flowing and I really enjoyed it. I want to thank both you, Justin and Roberto, for your time and your energy.
It's all right for me.
Roberto, why don't you, take this time to remind everyone where we can see and anything else that you want to say before we exit.
Yeah, right now, the easiest way to grab a hold of me is on Twitter at PortoGeekin. And if you want to take a look at what I've done with podcasts, apodofcasts.com for my Game of Thrones podcast that I do with my co-host, A. Proctor, and Radio Westworld at radiowestworld.com. For those of you who are Westworld fans, John Whitford and I continue to podcast around that show. Again, we're in hiatus for that. So you can go check that out at radiowestworld.com if you want to get caught up on that before season 3 of Westworld comes around.
Awesome. And Justin, also, we did a lot of Westworld. So next Westworld season, us three have to get back together again. Justin, you're up.
Yeah, before the dust settles, you'll have to join me, Hex, and Axel. That's the after show. Yeah, Top Shelf Fandom. I just launched a podcast, Fandom 3. It actually talks a lot about what we're talking about here. It doesn't, it's not episodic breakdowns of shows. It is talking about fandom in general, a lot of Jenkins and a lot of, you know, we get a little bit poetic with it, but we talk about the bigger picture and look at things of like why people go to movie theaters. Axel gave us a very good voice message in about his love of boxes. So it's the wider scope. I'm dipping into the podcast world. I cover everything. I love story in the sense of I love to break down and analyze what story means. I'm not connected to one fandom in particular. Westworld, a lot of people know me for, but you know, like True Detective, anything that's got something that's worth talking about. So, I just love meeting people like you guys. So yeah, look me up. Matt Quest is the best way to find me. Get my exact location, especially for my enemies. Recommend it. I don't know why you guys haven't got me yet.
You got your Earthlink? Should I hit you up on the Earthlink?
Right. Sort of the mid-afternoon, my friend, because I don't wake up too early. Yeah, look at that. Other walls falling. Other walls literally falling.
For everyone
the walls
listening
are falling around me. Goodbye.
For everyone listening on the podcast, Justin's whole set is falling around him, and for some reason, he's holding a sword. So with that, I'll bid you adieu. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This was a whole lot of fun. I really love this. I've been doing things so noted out, and this was fun to just get on and chat with two great guys. Thanks for listening. DVRpodcast.com. Peace out, everybody.